The Slate Twins, Caught in the Currents, written by Jeff Knurek, narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Part 1. Since tragically losing their parents, the Slate Twins have lived with their grandfather, Dane Slate. They come from a long line of genius inventors, so Grandpa Dane pushes their curiosity daily. One morning, the twins went to the study to see their grandpa hard at work, wearing a funny-looking headset.
"Shh," Nick hissed. "What's he inventing now?" Tess whispered.
Grandpa perked up.
"Do I hear Nick and Tess?"
Grandpa sat at a table with the mechanical arm bolted to it. The hand on the arm was pulling an egg out of the carton and accidentally breaking it in a bowl. The twins walked in, and Tess asked,
"What are you working on, Grandpa?"
Grandpa replied,
"It's an electronic arm, controlled by my thoughts. I'm trying not to break any eggs. Who wants breakfast?"
He picked up the bowl of broken eggs and went to the kitchen, calling back,
"Have fun. I'll call you when I'm done."
Nick picked up the headset, declaring, "Me first. Open. Watch me get a circuit board." The mechanical hand promptly reached into a box of circuit boards and pulled one out. Nick cheered. "Got it!" But as it pulled away, the arm knocked the box onto the floor, sending circuit boards flying. Tess laughed.
"Way to go!"
As the twins got onto hands and knees under the desk to pick up the scattered boards, Nick noticed an odd button on the underside of the desk.
"Hey, that's weird," he said. "Look."
He pushed the button and a hidden door popped open, revealing some papers. Nick and Tess spread the papers out on the desk and puzzled over them. Nick muttered,
"I'm not sure. Could it be?" "It is. These are the plans to Nikola Tesla's Philadelphia experiment. Why are they hidden in Grandpa's desk?"
Just then, Grandpa came back into the room.
"Breakfast is..."
"How did you..."
"Nick! Tess! Put those back!"
Tess asked, "Why do you have these?" Nick chimed in,
"Are these real?"
Grandpa put his hand firmly on the drawings and said,
"I think it's time you two knew the truth about your family. Your parents and I kept you in the dark long enough."
He continued,
"Your great-great-grandfather was Nikola Tesla. As you know, Tesla created, developed, and designed hundreds of electrical inventions. The name Slate is an anagram of Tesla. We have hidden our true identity to keep the most dangerous inventions out of the hands of evil people."
Nick and Tess exclaimed,
"What? Our name is Tesla, not Slate?"
Grandpa shook his head.
"No, you are Tess and Nick Tesla. No one can know this. The world would be in peril if his plans for the Philadelphia experiment and some of his other ideas ever reached the nefarious."
He pointed to the drawings.
"Those plans are for an electromagnetic machine that could render an entire battleship invisible. In 1943, this machine not only made a ship disappear, but also her entire crew, too. They were transported to a different location. The crew described traveling through energy like riding a bolt of lightning before they returned. Those folks were never the same after the experiment."
Nick was stunned.
"These are real? We're Teslas? We need to build this, can we? Has anyone ever built this since Tesla?"
Tess chimed in.
"We can do this, please, Grandpa. We can make a small one, please, Grandpa."
Grandpa scratched his head.
Okay. I know we can do this, but..."
He was thinking to himself, "This better be all they found." He looked them squarely in the eye.
"We build the experiment small and only use an inanimate object. Got that? And it must remain our secret."
The twins high-fived each other.
"Yes!"
Part 2. The Teslas began working on their Philadelphia project, soldering components on a circuit board and manipulating larger components of the machine. Grandpa got up saying, "You two keep working. I have something to do." He walked out of the study and went to a bust of Tesla.
"Well, Father," he said to the statue, "let's see if you still have a piece of your other secret."
He opened a hidden door in the base of the bust and thumbed through the torn plans he found there.
"Top piece, check."
Then he pulled the lid off a ceremonial urn to reveal more of the plans.
"Bottom piece, check."
Finally, he tapped the handle of his cane, which contained the rest of the plans.
"And I know the middle piece is safe and sound. Now I have peace of mind. The death ray plans have not been discovered."
The doorbell suddenly sounded.
"Who could that be?" Grandpa asked.
He went to the door and opened it. An African-American kid stood there, grinning widely.
"Hey, Grandpa S., or should I say Grandpa T.?"
"What?"
Grandpa was stunned. Nick came up behind Grandpa and explained.
"I asked Walter if he would help. Walter is my best friend and the smartest kid I know. Plus, he's a whiz at electronics."
"Your secret is safe with me. Scout's honor."
Walter piped up with a Boy Scout salute while Nick threw an arm around his friend's shoulders. The four of them went to the study and got busy on different parts of the project. After a while, Grandpa declared,
"Great work. I think we're ready."
Walter shook his head in wonder.
"Man, I can't believe you're a Tesla."
Tess set her pink teddy bear on the machine platform.
"Time to try it. Good luck, Huggy Bear."
Everyone gathered around the laptop, gazing at the control application. Grandpa said,
"Now, the electromagnetic field should render Mr. Bear invisible. Cross your fingers."
He pressed the enter key, and energy started crackling around the bear and the platform. Then, before their eyes, the bear actually disappeared, and after a few seconds appeared again. They looked at each other in stunned amazement, huge grins on their faces.
Grandpa nodded and walked away. "That was fun. It's time for a nap."
Tess picked up her bear.
"Where did you go, Huggy?"
Walter said,
"If one of us went, we could find out."
Tess exclaimed, "I want to try it." And Nick piped up,
"I'm ready."
"We need to do this before Grandpa wakes up. Rock, paper, scissors?"
Tess counted. 1, 2, 3, go! Paper!"
"Rock,"
Nick said, a little disappointed. Tess put on her safety goggles and climbed into the base of the machine platform.
"Here we go,"
Nick cried, pressing the button. Energy crackled around Tess, but she didn't disappear. Instead, the electrical energy arced, snapping and spiking around Tess. She cried out in terror,
"Something's wrong!"
Nick's jaw dropped and he ran to his twin. Walter at the laptop exclaimed,
"I can't stop it!"
Nick grabbed a hold of Tess, saying,
"Hold on, I've got you."
And the energy arced around them both, surrounding them. And to Walter's horror, they both disappeared. Nick and Tess felt themselves flying through an energy vortex.
"What's going on?"
Nick hollered, his eyes wide. Then they were standing on a huge circuit board, snapping with arcs of electricity.
"Where are we?"
Tess asked. Nick, standing before a giant chip plugged into the board, said,
"Cool. It looks like giant circuitry. Our circuitry."
As he reached for the chip, Tess grabbed his shoulders and yelled,
"Don't touch that!"
Too late. He touched the chip and white lightning arced out, wrapping around Nick's arms and shooting into Tess's eyes. Suddenly, Grandpa hurried into the study, looking in horror at the sparking machine platform.
"What's all the noise in here? Why is the experiment still running?"
He put his hand on Walter's shoulder, staring at the laptop screen. Walter wailed,
"The twins have disappeared. They're on the screen, but I don't see them."
Grandpa thought hurriedly,
"Try reversing the polarity. They have to be in there somewhere."
The energy around the platform continued to snap and crackle, and then the twins rematerialized and collapsed on the floor. Their hair was frazzled, they had sooty smudges on their clothes, Nick's arms were blackened and streaked, and Tess's closed eyes were sunken with dark circles around them. They looked dazed. Grandpa ran to the twins.
"Nick! Tess! Call an ambulance!" he hollered to Walter.
The ambulance arrived quickly, and as the EMTs loaded Tess into the ambulance, one explained,
"We're taking you both to the hospital,"
while Tess mumbled fearfully, "I can't see." Her eyes were already bandaged. At the same time, Nick moaned,
"My arms! I can't feel them!"
Part 3. After months of recovery and surgeries, the twins were fitted with the most advanced prosthetics known, eyes for Tess and arms for Nick. Grandpa leaned over Tess in her hospital bed and gently asked,
"Tess, can you see me? It's Grandpa."
She opened her eyes and saw Grandpa's face, but there were also words and numbers identifying him and a kind of graphical overlay in her field of vision, like a heads-up display. She touched her face, confused.
"Why am I seeing numbers like a computer screen? I'm seeing heat, electricity, measurements?"
Her irises looked almost like camera lenses with strange markings. Nick rolled into the room in a wheelchair, exclaiming,
"That's nothing. I can light a room, change the channel, and crush cans with my new arms. All I have to do is think about what I wanted to do. I feel things."
Lights flashed in various meters and arrays on his mechanical computerized arms. Grandpa held up his hand to stop the rush.
"I can explain. I told you about your parents' boss, Buck Gaines. He always felt responsible for their disappearance and passing. Well, he..."
Just then, a stranger strode into the room.
"Hello, Slate Twins. It's been a long time. I'm Buck Gaines. I hope you're adjusting to your new prosthetics. I had those made especially for you two. I would do anything for your family. Your parents were dear friends to me," he declared.
He walked over to Grandpa, draped an arm over his shoulder, and gestured.
"And to this man, I owe all my success. As your parents' friend, growing up, he took me in and challenged all three of us to explore the world of electronics and imagine its future."
He continued,
"The three of us would spend countless hours creating devices in your grandfather's studio. I practically lived there. I remember telling your granddad once, 'Look, Mr. Slate, I can control the arm remotely.' And he encouraged me. 'Excellent work, Buck,' he said. Of course, I was there watching your parents fall in love as they worked on all our projects."
Buck turned to the twins and asked,
"Now, tell me, how did this tragedy happen? Your grandfather was a little vague on the details."
Grandpa jumped in.
"The kids have had a long day, Buck."
Buck agreed.
"I understand. You go home and get well. Then I want you to come to my labs so we can check up on the new eyes and arms and give you a tour."
Grandpa brought the twins home saying,
"Welcome home. You two need to rest."
The twins grinned broadly, and Tess exclaimed,
"Everything looks so different."
Tess and Nick walked into the study and looked around, with Tess muttering,
"We need to figure out what went wrong."
Even as she said that, her words and everything she saw or that Nick's arms detected flashed over to a massive computer screen in Buck's lab. He watched, grinning, and said to himself,
"I know what went wrong. Now, kids, I need you and my electronics to look around the house and find my missing piece of the plans."
A few weeks later, the twins and Walter visited Gaines' labs. Buck watched them come into the building on his displays.
"I see my eyes and arms are here. Still no sign of the missing piece of the death ray plans."
As the kids watched all the scientists and activity in the labs, all they could say was,
"Whoa!"
A little girl walked up to Tess and said,
"You have my mother's eyes."
Tess looked at her puzzled.
"What?" "My mother designed your eyes," the girl responded.
An Asian woman in a white lab coat walked up behind the girl and said,
"I see you have met Judith. I'm her mother, Lily Kwan. Welcome to Nanotech."
Then she noticed Tess's eyes.
"Oh my, look at those eyes. How do you feel? Have you used the thermal imaging yet? Or the electromagnetic spectrum indicator? Oh, Nick, have you lasered anything yet? I hope you haven't hacked into anything."
Nick was amazed. "What? We can do that kind of stuff?" Lily answered,
"Here at Nanotech, we are on the cutting edge of nanoelectronics and obviously bionic prosthetics. You two have the most advanced eyes and limbs in the world."
Part 4.
All around them, scientists and technicians were busily creating and testing fantastic devices. Then Buck walked up saying,
"Welcome. You look great. I'd like to talk to Nick and Tess alone, if you don't mind, Walter. Lily and her daughter can give Walter a tour."
To the twins, he added,
"I want to show you something you may recognize."
He leaned into an iris scanner to unlock the door to another room, saying,
"This is my private lab."
He showed them a vaguely familiar machine.
"I believe you are familiar with the Philadelphia experiment. I, too, found the plans. I've made some improvements and developed a suit to safely travel in."
Tess was surprised.
"How did you do this? What did our grandpa say?"
"As I told you," Buck answered, "I spent a lot of time in your home and I, too, found the plans. Cleaning up after a simple accident led me to the Tesla secret and the button that opens the compartment in the desk." Buck continued, "I knew he wouldn't approve. I took photos of the plans and built it at my home. It was fate that I found the plans hidden in the desk. The first time I used the machine, I was drawn into the electricity. This first stop was the circuitry controlling the nearest circuit board."
Nick nodded.
"Yes, we saw the circuitry. We didn't know where we were."
Buck smiled.
"It was my board. I found that I could travel through the electricity to anything electronically connected."
He added,
"I have been developing my nanotechnology in ways no one could imagine, thanks to your great-grandfather, Nikola Tesla. How would you two like to travel to see what I've been working on for years? It will be safe, I assure you. Here, you'll need these," he said, holding up two fancy protective suits in the twin size. "They are designed to protect you from the electric currents and will work with your prosthetics."
"Wow!"
the twins whooped. The twins quickly put on their suits, and all three of them stepped onto separate platforms on Buck's Philadelphia experiment machine.
"Are you ready?" Buck asked. "We will be taken into the electricity directly onto the board. Tess, you don't know this, but your eyes have been designed to see the direction of electricity."
Buck pressed a button and an electric current swirled and arced around them, drawing them into a giant circuit board full of odd components. Tess was excited.
"I see it."
Buck said, "Welcome to my home away from home. Of course, your family had a lot to do with it. Here we are."
The twins gazed up at the components. Nick said,
"That looks familiar."
Tess agreed.
"It reminds me of your headquarters."
Buck nodded with satisfaction.
"It's a nano version of the building. I've been able to work on one of Tesla's greatest ideas in secret, here in my own small world." "What idea is that? The Philadelphia experiment?"
Nick asked, gazing up.
"No," Buck answered. "His death ray."
Tess was puzzled.
"The death ray? I thought that was a myth."
"Does this look like a myth?" Buck asked indignantly. "When I am finished, the world will forget Tesla's name. I will be its greatest mind and control all electronics," he declared. How is that possible? Nick asked, disturbed. Now that I've mastered traveling through electricity, I can also send the death ray anywhere. Electricity is connected. We are all connected in today's world, and I will control all the paths, or destroy them all.
Tess asked, How did you know how to create this?
Buck answered, After finding the plans for the Philadelphia experiment, I assumed there had to be more secrets hidden away. I looked everywhere. And then I found part of the Death Ray's plans hidden in the bust of your great-grandfather, Slate. I remember wondering what I'd found and where the rest of the plans were. Then I found another part of the plans in a special urn, but the middle piece is missing.
He showed them a board with the top and bottom pieces of the plan displayed and the middle section empty.
He shook his head. I couldn't find the final piece of the plans. Regardless, I figured out 99% of the plans, but I still need that last piece.
Why are you telling us this? Nick asked.
I want those plans, Buck said fiercely. Where are they?
We've never seen them. Tess said, looking a bit scared at the change in Buck.
He snarled. You're as useless to me as your parents were.
Our parents? Gasped Tess.
Yes, your parents helped create all of this, although they did not agree with my plan. They, too, had no idea where the final piece of the plans are. Your mom complained,
Buck, we are building this to share these electronics with the world, not control them.
And your dad agreed, saying, This is all Tesla's creation, Buck, not yours. I told them, Don't be ignorant. The world can't understand what I'm creating. I made this real, not Tesla. The world will know me as its greatest mind. After that, your parents left here and headed back to the lab, but never made it there. I assume they had an accident like the two of you, he finished. The twins were stunned. Buck sneered. I gave you both the means to find that final piece, and you failed me. Now the two of you will help me get the missing piece another way. Time to visit your grandfather. Just then, two robots rolled up beside Buck, each with a giant wheel instead of legs and feet. They had arms, though, and grabbed the twins, holding on tightly.
You stay here while I surprise your grandfather, Buck said. I have one more thing I need from him, and he better have it.
An electric current tunnel opened up behind Buck, and he dove into it, traveling back to his lab. With satisfaction, he turned off the power to the circuit board and stepped away, saying to himself, Time to drop in on my home away from home. Grandpa Slate, you better know where your family's secrets are, or you'll have more lost children. Part 5. As Buck turned to leave the lab, Walter and Judith came up to him.
Hi, Mr. Gaines. Walter grinned. Have you seen Tess and Nick?
Buck answered, They are working on an experiment for me. I've got to go. With that, he strode out of the building.
Walter grabbed his cell phone, grumbling.
I can't get a hold of them. They'd ask me to help with any experiments.
Judith had an idea.
My mom can help.
They went to Lily, who asked,
What's going on, you two?
Walter answered worriedly,
I can't find Tess and Nick. Mr. Gaines said they were helping him, but he left.
Lily smiled and assured him,
I can help. I was meaning to take a peek at Tess's eyes today, anyway. I'll log into her implants.
As Lily tapped on her laptop, a picture of Nick being held by a robot in a strange place popped onto the computer screen.
Whoa! Lily exclaimed. Where is this? They look like they're in trouble.
She quickly began typing while explaining to Judith and Walter.
She will see this in her vision display. Okay. Tess, this is Lily. Sorry, I am peeking in your eyes. Where are you? Talk, and your speech will be transcribed for me.
Tess jumped as the words scrolled before her eyes. She told Nick, "Judith's mom is talking to me through my eyes."
"Ask her for help," Nick cried.
Lily said to Walter and Judith,
"Great, she sees it.
Now let me activate Nick's systems.
Nick, Tess, do you hear me?"
As Lily's voice echoed around the twins, Tess quickly answered,
"Yes, we hear you. We're trapped in circuitry. It's hard to explain. We need help."
Lily responded,
"I am unlocking Nick's lasers."
"Lasers?" Nick yelped.
"Yes, lasers," she answered. "Nick, concentrate on your fingertips cutting the bindings. Your lasers will kick in. Be careful."
Nick quickly flexed his wrist to point at the robot hand gripping his arm. As the robot released him, he turned to free Tess and then shot down both robots. Lily asked,
"Where are you two?"
Walter interjected,
"They're back in the electronics."
"Back?" Lily was confused. Walter nodded.
"Yes, they've done it before. That's all I can say."
Nick hurried to explain the situation.
"Gaines trapped us in a circuit board in his lab. He turned off the power to it. We need the power to get out of here. He's headed to our grandfather's. We need to stop him."
"I can do that," Lily responded. "Are you using your eyes to see electricity?"
Tess nodded.
"Yes, we can follow the electricity and travel to the lab. Then we need to get home to stop Gaines."
Walter had a sudden thought and asked,
"What if you go straight to your house? The experiment is fixed. Can you see your way there?"
Tess wasn't sure.
"I don't know. We've never done that before."
Lily said firmly,
"Tess, I don't know what this is about, but I was friends with your parents and know that Gaines was up to something. I can help. We have circuits in 10 power systems around town. I can ping them and you can follow them to your house."
Nick exclaimed, "That will help. Let's do it."
Meanwhile, Buck arrived at the Slate house and rang the intercom buzzer at the gate.
"Hello?"
Grandpa asked.
"Mr. Slate, it's Buck."
The gate swung open and Grandpa welcomed Buck at the front door.
"Buck, I thought you were with the twins,"
Grandpa said, confused.
Buck explained, "It's about the twins, Dane. They're in trouble, and you're the only one who can help." "Trouble?"
Grandpa cried.
"Yes,"
Buck said, narrowing his eyes.
"I know who you are, Dane. Dane Tesla."
"What? How?" Grandpa was shocked. Buck answered coldly,
"I've spent a lot of time at your house, thanks to you. Your secrets weren't all that well hidden. I need the final piece of the Death Ray plans."
"Death Ray?"
Grandpa gasped. Buck gripped Grandpa's shoulder.
"Yes, Death Ray. Nick and Tess's lives depend on it. Through the years, I found 2 pieces of the plans. Now, where is the third?"
Grandpa trembled, gripping his cane.
"Where are Tess and Nick?"
Buck sneered. "They're trapped in a circuit board, just like their parents were. They also couldn't help me."
Buck pointed a taser-like device at Grandpa and zapped him, causing the old man to collapse to the floor. As Buck knelt over Grandpa and placed some odd-looking glasses over his eyes, he said,
"I've perfected another Tesla creation. Thanks to your father, these thought glasses will show me where the missing plans are."
He paused to adjust them.
"Now, I want you to think about where the missing piece is. Start with the bust."
An image of the bust displayed on the surface of one lens.
"Now, think about the urn."
The urn flashed on the other lens. Buck smiled grimly.
"Where is the rest?"
Meanwhile, Nick and Tess were flying through the electric current tunnel as Lily instructed them.
"Follow the beacons to your house."
The right path was lit with glowing yellow, while divergent paths arced off in sullen orange.
Walter added, "Your grandfather hasn't answered his phone."
"We're almost there,"
the twins called, just as Grandpa, unable to resist, thought of the final piece of the plans. The image of his cane flashed on the lenses of the thought glasses for Buck to see. Buck chuckled mockingly.
There you go, Dane. I knew you couldn't hide it from me.
He seized the cane.
Brilliant! You had it all the time. I would never have guessed, he said, snapping the cane in half over his knee, exposing the missing piece of the plans.
Buck pulled out the paper and unrolled it.
Excellent. I can finish your father's legacy now.
Just then, Tess and Nick materialized on the platform of the Philadelphia experiment in their house with a crackle of electricity.
We're here, Nick confirmed.
Lily spoke. Tess, use your eyes to see who is home.
Tess nodded. Okay.
She filtered her gaze and saw through the wall a digitized image of a standing figure holding something, looming over another figure prone on the ground.
Tess cried, "He's here! I think Grandpa is hurt!"
Buck's head jerked up at the sound of Tess's voice.
"Who is here?"
Lily warned the twins.
"Be careful, he's dangerous!"
"Use your lasers,"
Walter suggested.
"No," Lily said. "But Nick, you can stun him. I can control your arm settings from here."
The twins moved towards Buck and Grandpa, and Nick raised his arms.
"He's right there," Tess pointed. "Gaines, stop," she yelled.
"How did you escape?"
Buck demanded. Then he knelt by Grandpa, raising his head and threatening the old man with his zapper.
"You must have discovered talents you didn't know I gave you. I wouldn't use them now if I were you," he added nastily. "I have what I came for," he said, putting the rolled-up plan in the front pocket of his shirt. "Now, I want you two to show me your Teslas and finish the death ray with me."
Nick shook his head.
"Let go of our grandfather. You can't get away with this."
At that moment, while Buck was distracted, Grandpa reached up, pulled the plans from Buck's pocket, and flipped them to the twins.
"Here, Nick!"
Lily called out,
"Nick, destroy it with your laser!"
Immediately, Nick pointed his hand at the fallen plan and concentrated. A beam shot from his fingers and ignited the paper, turning it to ash. Buck dropped his zapper, screaming,
"No!"
The twins knelt by Grandpa as Buck ran off. Nick said,
"He's heading to the study."
Buck sneered at the Philadelphia experiment disdainfully.
"So this was their effort. It's crude, but it should work."
Tess supported Grandpa while he patted her shoulder.
"I'm glad you're safe," he said.
"Judith," Nick called out, "Gaines is using our device to get back to his lab."
She answered, "Nick, we'll direct him back to his lab and cut off power to trap him there."
At that moment, the electricity arced around Buck, sending him flying through the current tunnel.
"Will he survive without his suit?" Tess wondered.
At the lab, Walter touched Lily's shoulder.
"Thanks for saving my friends."
She smiled with Judith.
"We all did."
The twins helped Grandpa to his feet, and he declared,
"Your great-grandfather and your parents would be so proud of you two. You are no longer slates. You are the Tesla twins."
Buck, trapped in the circuit board at his lab, moaned,
"Someone has cut off my power."
Then suddenly, a very odd message flashed across the display of Lily's computer terminal in green text on a black background.
Judith cried out, pointing, "Mommy, look at the screen."
The message read, "Hello, is anybody there? This is Eva and Joseph Slate. We're trapped. Help us." The end. Nikola Tesla, inventor. Nikola Tesla was a Serbian-American inventor, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, and futurist who is best known for his contributions to the design of the modern alternating current electricity supply system. Born July 10, 1856, Smiljan, Croatia. Died January 7, 1943, The New Yorker, a Wyndham Hotel, New York, New York. Education.
Graz University of Technology, 1875 to 1878. Awards: Order of the Yugoslav Crown, Elliot Cresson Medal, 1894. IEEE Edison Medal, 1916. John Scott Legacy Medal, 1934. The Death Ray. The Death Ray, or Death Beam, was a theoretical particle beam or electromagnetic weapon first theorized around the 1920s and 1930s. Around that time, such notable inventors Guglielmo Marconi, Nikola Tesla, Harry Grindel Matthews, Edwin R. Scott, Gretchen, and others claimed to have invented it independently. Nikola Tesla claimed to have invented a death beam, which he called Teleforce, in the 1930s, and continued the claims up until his death. Tesla explained that, "This invention of mine does not contemplate the use of any so-called death rays. Rays are not applicable because they cannot be produced in requisite quantities and diminish rapidly in intensity with distance. All the energy of New York City, approximately 2 million horsepower, transformed into rays and projected 20 miles, could not kill a human being, because according to a well-known law of physics, it would disperse to such an extent as to be ineffectual. My apparatus projects particles which may be relatively large or of microscopic dimensions, enable us to convey to a small area at a great distance trillions of times more energy than is possible with rays of any kind. Many thousands of horsepower can thus be transmitted by a stream thinner than a hair, so that nothing can resist." Tesla proposed that a nation could destroy anything approaching within 200 miles and will provide a wall of power to make any country, large or small, impregnable against armies, airplanes, and other means of attack. He claimed to have worked on the project since about 1900 and said that it drew energy from the ionosphere, which he called an invisible ball of energy surrounding Earth. He said that he had done this with the help of a 50-foot Tesla coil. In 1957, the National Inventors Council was still issuing lists of needed military inventions that included a death ray. While based in fiction, research into energy-based weapons inspired by past speculation has contributed to real-life weapons in use by modern militaries, sometimes called a sort of death ray, such as the United States Navy and its laser weapon system, LAWS, deployed in mid-2014. Such armaments are technically known as directed energy weapons. Tesla quotes, "The present is theirs. The future, for which I really worked, is mine. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of existence. The scientists of today think deeply instead of clearly. One must be sane to think clearly, but one can think deeply and be quite insane." About IEEE USA. IEEE USA is an organizational unit of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, Incorporated, IEEE, created in 1973 to support the career and public policy interests of IEEE's U.S. members. IEEE USA is primarily supported by an annual assessment paid by U.S. IEEE members. Through its products and services, IEEE USA serves as a resource for enhancing the professional growth and career advancement of U.S. IEEE members. And through its government relations programs, IEEE USA works with all three branches of the federal government to help shape the workforce and technology policy to the benefit of members, the profession, and the American people. About the author. Jeff Gnurek, Jumble Cartoonist, is an award-winning toy and game inventor, consumer product inventor, graphic artist, illustrator, cartoonist, and puzzle creator. Gnurek's first game invention to make it to market in 1989 was the outdoor game Spikeball. His other game credits include Family Fun Magazine's Toy of the Year award winners, What's in Ned's Head, and Monster Under My Bed. Gnurek also develops and licenses children's magic tricks and products for Las Vegas headliner Mack King.
In 2008, Jeff Gnurek became only the third artist to draw the popular Jumble puzzle cartoon seen in more than 600 newspapers. He took over the art duties for Jumble when the great Henri Arnold retired. Gnurek's unique humor and style can be seen in the caricatures and fun pop culture references placed throughout his cartoons. Jeff is also a singer-songwriter. His first album, Risk Taking Is Free, is an eclectic mix of songs inspired by his diverse love of many genres of music. He has begun work on his second album. Gnurek's hometown is Southgate, Michigan. He has lived throughout the Midwest in Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Gnurek received a BFA in industrial design with an art education certification from the University of Michigan. In 2007, he donated a kidney to a family member with polycystic kidney disease, and both are doing great. Gnurek currently resides in Fishers, Indiana, with his wife Kathy and children Sydney and Cameron. This has been The Slate Twins, Caught in the Currents, written by Jeff Gnurek, narrated by Kat Lukubaugh.